This is a Kim Monson National News Briefing. Judge finalizes $345 million judgment against Greenpeace in Dakota Access Pipeline case. A North Dakota judge ordered three Greenpeace entities to pay $345 million to pipeline developer Energy Transfer, closing a chapter in a nearly decade-long legal battle that began with the 2016 Standing Rock protests. Both sides plan to appeal. From Mandan, North Dakota. A North Dakota judge on Friday finalized a $345 million judgment against Greenpeace, ordering the environmental organization to pay pipeline developer Energy Transfer for damages stemming from the 2016 and 2017 Dakota Access Pipeline protests. Southwest Judicial District Judge James Gunn's order ends a nearly year-long dispute over the amount Greenpeace owes after a Morton County jury found the organization liable in March 2025. The jury originally awarded approximately $667 million, which Gunn reduced to $345 million in October 2025 after finding some damages lacked legal basis, were duplicative, or exceeded statutory caps. The final judgment also orders Greenpeace to pay 11% interest on the sum, starting from March 19, 2025, the date the jury announced its verdict, until the full amount is paid. Both sides have signaled they plan to appeal to the North Dakota Supreme Court. Greenpeace says it will first seek a new trial or amendment to the judgment. Energy Transfer has objected to the reduction from the original jury award. Turning to the perspective of a co-founder who saw the organization from the inside. Dr. Patrick Moore, an early leader of Greenpeace who served as president of Greenpeace Canada from 1977 to 1986 and as a director of Greenpeace International, has publicly supported Energy Transfer's legal campaign against his former organization. Moore told the Daily Caller News Foundation in September 2024, months before the trial began, that Greenpeace has got to embrace what is really true science. He said they ignore massively important facts and then make lies up to replace them. He added that he hoped they were going to learn a lesson from this. Moore, who holds a PhD from the University of British Columbia, left Greenpeace in 1986, saying the organization had abandoned science in favor of political ideology. He documented his experience in his book Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout, which chronicles his 15 years inside the organization and explains why he walked away. Moore said that science is about truth, and then you decide your policy. He argued that the leaders of Greenpeace personally decide the policy, and then they lie about the underlying scientific aspects. He said it has completely bastardized science in much of the world, especially in the Western world. Moore called Greenpeace's leaders spoiled brats and said Greenpeace USA would certainly deserve to lose the lawsuit. He argued that pipelines remain the safest way to move liquids, especially flammable ones, and that Greenpeace is basically attempting to destroy the means of transportation and so many other things. Moore's dispute with Greenpeace extends to his very role in the organization's founding. Moore describes himself as a co-founder, and Greenpeace's own website listed him as one of the original founders as recently as 2007. The organization has since distanced itself from Moore, crediting Paul Cote, Irving Stowe, and Jim Bolin as the true founders, and noting that Moore joined the group in 1971, a year after its establishment. Moore was a crew member on Greenpeace's first voyage before rising to lead its Canadian operations. A frequent guest on The Kim Monson Show with 11 appearances since 2019, Moore has spent decades challenging what he describes as the environmental movement's departure from evidence-based policy. His 2021 book, Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom, extends that argument, examining environmental claims he says rely on phenomena the public cannot independently verify. Moore is currently a founding director of the CO2 Coalition and a senior fellow at the Heartland Institute. Looking at the case, from RICO to state court. Energy Transfer first sued Greenpeace in federal court in 2017, seeking $900 million under the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. The company accused Greenpeace and other groups of organizing a criminal enterprise to attack the Dakota Access Pipeline through protests, property damage, and a misinformation campaign. United States District Judge Billy Roy Wilson dismissed the RICO claims in February 2019, finding the evidence fell far short of what was needed to establish a criminal enterprise. Wilson wrote that posting articles written by people with similar beliefs does not create a RICO enterprise. The federal dismissal left state law claims intact, and Energy Transfer refiled in Morton County, North Dakota in 2019. The state court case alleged defamation, tortious interference with business, civil conspiracy, trespass, conversion, and nuisance against three Greenpeace entities: Greenpeace Inc., also known as Greenpeace USA, Greenpeace Fund Inc., and Greenpeace International, which is based in the Netherlands. The trial began February 24, 2025, in the Morton County Courthouse in Mandan, and lasted more than 3 weeks. Dozens of witnesses testified, including current and former Greenpeace employees, indigenous activists, Energy Transfer representatives, and law enforcement officials. On March 19, 2025, a 9-person jury found Greenpeace USA liable on almost all claims. It found Greenpeace International and Greenpeace Fund not responsible for the alleged on-the-ground harms committed by protesters, but liable for defamation and interfering with Energy Transfer's business. It also found Greenpeace USA and Greenpeace International liable for conspiracy. On the question of how the damages break down, Judge Guhn's October 2025 remittitor cut the jury's award after finding several categories of damages lacked legal basis. The final $345 million breaks down as follows. Approximately $149 million for on-the-ground harms, including trespass and nuisance. Approximately $143 million for tortious interference with business. Approximately $50 million for defamation, reduced from the jury's original award of roughly $250 million. Approximately $3.5 million for civil conspiracy, reduced from roughly $22.5 million. Guhn eliminated damages for trespassing-related awards and unlawful seizure of property, and found the jury could not assess punitive damages for defamation under the circumstances. Turning to Standing Rock and the pipeline protests. The Dakota Access Pipeline is a 1,172-mile crude oil pipeline carrying oil from North Dakota's Bakken Formation to Illinois. Its route crosses under Lake Oahe, a reservoir on the Missouri River upstream of the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. In April 2016, members of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe established a protest camp near the pipeline's construction route. The demonstrations grew into a months-long encampment that drew thousands of protesters from across the country and became one of the largest Native American-led protest movements in decades. The protests produced 761 arrests. Local authorities said it took 178 agencies and 4 days to clear out protesters and cleanup camps that produced millions of pounds of trash, according to The Hill. In December 2016, the United States Army Corps of Engineers denied the pipeline's easement under the Obama administration. President Trump reversed that decision in January 2017, signing a presidential memorandum to resume the project. The pipeline delivered its first oil in May 2017. Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Chairwoman Janet Alkire called the lawsuit frivolous before the trial. After the verdict, she pushed back on the jury's findings. Alkire said in a March 2025 statement that neither Greenpeace nor anyone else paid or persuaded Standing Rock to oppose the Dakota Access Pipeline. She added that Greenpeace did not manipulate Standing Rock, but that Energy Transfer has manipulated Morton County. On the question of Greenpeace's role, the case turned on what role Greenpeace actually played in the protests. Energy Transfer argued that Greenpeace incited illegal behavior, funded attacks on the project, and published false statements that damaged the company's reputation with banks and investors. Greenpeace maintained its involvement was minimal. The organization said it had only 6 employees visit the protest camps, all from Greenpeace USA, and that none represented Greenpeace Fund or Greenpeace International. Witnesses for Greenpeace testified that banks divested from the pipeline based on their own values, not because of Greenpeace's statements. A central piece of evidence against Greenpeace International was a single letter organized by the nonprofit BankTrack in November 2016, urging 17 banks financing the pipeline to halt remaining loan payments. Greenpeace International was one of more than 500 organizations that signed the letter. Greenpeace noted that the final judgment includes tens of millions of dollars for signing a letter also signed by 500 other organizations, which echoed statements made in United Nations reports. Looking at the existential financial threat facing Greenpeace, Greenpeace reported $1.4 million in cash and $23 million in total assets as of December 31, 2024. The $345 million judgment is roughly 15 times its total assets. Marco Siemens, interim general counsel for Greenpeace USA and Greenpeace Fund, said that speaking out against corporations that cause environmental harm should never be deemed unlawful. He noted it is guaranteed by the United States Constitution and is essential to the protection of communities and the health of democracy. Simon said in a statement following the judgment that this is a setback, but the movement to defend people and the planet has always faced setbacks and resistance, and that energy transfer will fail in its goal of silencing its critics. Greenpeace International Executive Director Mads Christensen said the organization would not back down. Christensen said they will not be silenced and that they will only get louder. Turning to the legal battle, which continues on two fronts. The case now moves to the North Dakota Supreme Court, where both sides plan to challenge aspects of the judgment. Energy Transfer has indicated it will seek to restore the full $667 million jury verdict, while Greenpeace will argue the entire case should be thrown out. North Dakota is one of 17 states without anti-SLAPP protections, according to Greenpeace, which would have allowed the organization to seek early dismissal of the case as a strategic lawsuit against public participation. Greenpeace has characterized the suit as a classic slap designed to silence critics through the financial burden of litigation. In a parallel legal front, Greenpeace International filed a lawsuit against Energy Transfer in Dutch court on February 11, 2025, invoking the European Union's new anti-slap directive. The case, officially registered in the Court of Amsterdam on July 2, 2025, represents the first test of the EU legislation. The North Dakota judge denied Energy Transfer's request to halt the Dutch proceedings, and the next hearing in Amsterdam is scheduled for April 16, 2026. And now, Kim's perspective. When you break the law, there are consequences, and Greenpeace learned that the hard way. What started at Standing Rock as a legitimate protest by the Standing Rock Sioux tribe was co-opted by outside activist groups that crossed the line from peaceful demonstration into property destruction and defamation. Dr. Moore saw this coming decades ago when he walked away from Greenpeace because it had stopped caring about science and started caring about power. His book, Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout, is essential reading for anyone who wants to understand how environmentalism lost its way. A jury of 9 North Dakotans heard the evidence, and they held Greenpeace accountable. The appeals will play out, but the message is clear. You do not get to destroy property, defame companies, and then hide behind the First Amendment. This article is available at kiminson.com. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson National News Briefing.